ready to have a drink.
Blog Talk Radio.
Can I have a drink now first? Technical difficulties already, god damn it.
Yeah, I can hear it.
You can hear that, right?
Yeah, it sounds like you're breaking up. You sure you're not using a cell phone?
I'm not using a cell phone yet, but what is that, 9 o'clock hour? I'm cursed, so I can't get the show started on time. So Donald Trump and the rest of the Republicans is trying to shut this show down, but I'd be damned if I allow this to happen.
Of course.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Monday edition of the Avenue
Brad,
Truth
why
Show.
Are you breaking up?
I'm breaking up?
You it are,
my
yeah.
Really? Oh,
well,
boy.
Talk
can you hear
now.
Me now.
Keep talking.
Can I talk now?
Yeah, it sounds like you're coming through like a bad cell phone.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah?
So it sounds like you're
can
on
you
like
now?
A bad cell connection. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Yeah.
Shut up. I'm going to start talking now. Thank you. Jeez.
Oh, you're an
it's
asshole.
So hard to find good co-hosts. It's so hard to find good co-hosts these days.
Shut
okay,
the hell
like was,
up.
Like I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Monday, a crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most that keep getting rudely interrupted. I am the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
The right-hand man, Sean Black, in the building. And, of course, on the other end is the one and only.
Anitra B. Hello, fellas. How are you doing today?
Howdy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I watched an episode of Hee Haw on TV. And I guess they had this old lady named Minnie Pearl who used to say howdy on TV. So, yeah. I was bored. I needed to get my mind off the Mets. Okay? So.
Okay. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in your thoughts or questions or to vent out about yesterday's sports in New York, which is very, very bad. The number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And ladies and gentlemen, first off, I'd like to apologize for the back and forth of our show. Sometimes we do it Sunday, sometimes we do it Monday. The regular schedule is really Sundays at 4 o'clock. But due to prior engagements, we keep, you know, switching back and forth. But we are committed of doing the show to you every week, no matter what. That's
exactly.
Our guarantee to you. But we love you guys so much, and we thank you for all the support. We will try to keep the show on Sundays, except for next Sunday. We will do the show next Monday, actually. But once again, we just...
So what was the point of that whole spiel? We're committed
know.
To doing this show on Sunday,
like,
except next
he
week.
He just feels like talking. You know him. He needs to yap.
Yes, and talk about yap. Okay, I could speak for Sean Black. I could speak for myself. It's time to really piss people off because Sean Black is pissed off, the Hot Rod is pissed off, and it should be always getting pissed on from some guy. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's start this show.
Jackass. There's something wrong with you. Like, seriously, who peed on you today? Who pissed you off?
Wow. I think he's riled up.
I'm pumped.
Oh,
so,
no, Sean, you heard. So, guys, did you hear that Donald Trump is going to be on, I think, Good Morning America or one of those Good Morning shows?
Yeah, I think he's going to be on the Today Show tomorrow.
The Today Show, yeah, one of the morning things.
Can we go to the topics and not go off, please? Thank you. We wasted 5 minutes already.
I'm just
saying,
I'm talking about your idol. You think you'd be happy?
Okay. Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
She's not leaving him.
Children.
So, really interrupted. We just lost our two listeners right now. Once again, we have to talk about something that happened in South Carolina. Since Anisha B made me threw my notes away, Sean Black, take it away. What happened?
Okay. I have to say this as try to say this as calm as I possibly can. We know, for those that already know the story, you know where I'm going. But for those that haven't listened to the news in the last few days, there was an incident that happened in a high school in South Carolina. We know that what's been going on in South Carolina, we know a lot of racial diversity and a lot of racial stories have been popping up in the news. This one is equally disturbing, but is also becoming commonplace. There was a 16-year-old girl in a high school in South Carolina who apparently was to be removed from class because she was not doing what she was supposed to be doing, which was, I guess, was during test time. They were supposed to be using computers and studying. Apparently, she was on her phone texting and disrupting the class. The teacher decided, you need to get you out of the class because you're disrupting the classroom. She would not go. She would not leave. So this teacher decided to go and get not necessarily a police officer, but this was somebody, somewhat of a peace officer, so to speak, by the name of Officer Ben Fields. He came into the room to try to get the peace going. And what ended up happening was, instead of the peace being kept, as video of this was recorded on someone's cell phone, this girl was forcibly yanked to the ground while still at the desk. The officer had his hand around her neck, yanked her to the ground, then grabbed her by the foot and threw her across the floor before putting a knee on her back, turning her over, and actually arresting her. This went all over the place because this went through social media. This was all over the internet. This was all over the news, and it's still a very big story. Now, the issue with this is, and I'll bring this up to the two of you guys, we know that police officers, especially in schools and in certain places where you need to have control, we've seen in the last few days, few weeks, few months, a lot of power-hungry police officers or people in positions of power. I want to ask you guys this question so I can find out where your thought processes are. What do you think that this person was justified in using the force that he used on the 16-year-old, or do you actually believe that he went overboard? I'll throw it to Anitra first, and then I'll throw it to Hot Rod because I know Hot Rod got a lot to say. But Anitra, what do you think?
Well, first of all, no, he definitely went overboard. I mean, he did what probably hundreds of thousands of people in his position wish they could do with a teenager or a child that acts like that. But he definitely went overboard. There are ways to handle stuff like that. He'd need to do all that.
Hot Rod?
Benfield, he's a school resource officer. He's been on the job for quite some time right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows the proper protocol and the proper training. We have discussed on the show many times how any person of authority needs proper training, whether you're a peace officer or New York City cop or a regular security guard. Of course, there are certain ways to handle things, but let's be real to ourselves. There'll be many times you thought in your mind when you see a teenager, a smart-ass teenager or a student, that you want to grab that child by the throat and throw them across the room to teach them a lesson. Of course, Mr. Field did the wrong thing and handled the situation improperly, not proper protocol. Of course, it is wrong to throw a student or a teenager or a body across the room off the desk. But let's be real with some people. Some people do snap from time to time. However, she did not do anything wrong in a public eye. Well, she probably was insulting the officer by not listening. How many times, I know I can ask people Sean Black, but he's a very passionate person. There'll be many adults out there, teachers and security guards, that want to beat the crap out of some teenagers, but they are very disrespectful towards their authority. They are disrespectful for people that are trying to take care of them. These teenagers today, not all teenagers, not maybe most, or maybe some, or maybe little, do not have respect. How can you handle it? Maybe he could have called the cops, made them take him away. But no, he took it upon himself. Maybe he was having a bad day. Maybe he had a fight with his girlfriend and decided to take it on his kid. But here's an argument I have with a lot of people. I do not see this situation anything racial about it. There was no racism involved. The reason why I say that is, yes, while I was reading the notes, yes, it was a white officer, black teenager. Does anything have to do with one another? Of course not. But once again, the media have to put down the quote, black teenager, as a racial intention. So I'm black.
Well, I'm going to bring some stuff up in this that's going to make you think otherwise. Although
never.
I understand your point of view, and I definitely understand Anitra's point of view, just to give you a little bit of background. First and foremost, the girl that was in question, 16 years old, I feel in no way, unless this was a violent situation that needed to be rectified, he had no business going to the extreme that he went to. This 16-year-old is in foster care. We don't know where her mindset is. She had just recently lost her mother. So she's been in foster care. Her mother passed away. She has foster parents that are taking care of her. So we don't know what her mental state could have been prior to that. We don't know what necessarily set her off as far as the reason why she's not listening to authority. Second of all, to give you a little background on the, I guess you can call him a peace officer. He's not a police officer. He's a deputy. Is for school safety. His nickname is Officer Slam because he is a coach on the school football team. He's a big guy. He's about maybe 260 pounds, 6'2", 6'3". He's a pretty big guy. But also, he has a history in his past of doing questionable things with his authority. One of them is he has a case that's going to trial in January for an expelled student that claimed he had targeted black kids and falsely accused them of being gang members. This is going to trial in January. There's another case against this guy where a black couple actually accused him of excessive force and battery during a complaint about noise back in 2005. So this goes back 10 years ago. There's a third lawsuit which was dismissed back in 2009, which involved a woman who accused him of battery and violating her rights during an arrest in 2006. So he has a lot of things on his plate legally. Now, as this whole situation happened, there was another person who was arrested in this. Well, there's a second female student. Her name is Naya Kenny. And the reason why she was arrested was in the quotation of the arrest was that she was contributing to the chaos. In essence, she was trying to defuse the situation and was wondering, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Oh, really? And she was arrested in this whole entire deal. She was brought, I believe she did an interview on TV.
Yeah, but why she put herself in that situation? You know, you see everybody else sitting down like, oh, crap, what the hell is going on? Do you want to put yourself on the line dealing with a crazy, crazy officer?
Here's the problem, and we've seen this many times before. We have seen police officers. We've seen people in those kinds of situations that have the power to either arrest or to defuse a situation that get power hungry, that are relishing the fact that they had this small amount of power over, in this case, students. In other instances, anybody that they've arrested in the street, and abuse that power. Now, we know, based on what we've seen in the video, there is no reason why this particular cop or police peace officer, whatever you want to call him, had to put his hands on her from that sense. She, one, wasn't being belligerent. Two, she did not do anything as far as any violence, although there are two or three separate videos, and one of them is stating that the teen took a swing at the cop. But what it looks like is that she took a swing after the cop put his arm around her throat to yank her to the ground. Now, in any instance that we've seen a police officer or an adult or an authority figure putting their hands on a teenager, as far as I'm concerned, that's unacceptable. Unless she has a weapon or she's lunging at the cop and the cop has to protect himself, there is no reason that that situation couldn't have been diffused in a completely different way. Now, to your point, Hot Rod, that you stated, there are a lot of teenagers, some real badass teenagers, as you would call them, that go on they basically go out there and they do whatever they can to disrespect everybody because there's no respect towards anyone, whether it's authority figures, teachers, police officers, firefighters, anybody in any authority position. And that's a cultural issue. That's something that happens. Teenagers are always rebellious towards adults. The problem is now we don't know, as far as the teenagers, how that's going to play off for them as they get older, because this is happening at the teenage and on the teenage level. We don't know how that person's going to think of authority going forward. Oh, if I say anything to this cop is going to beat me senseless, even though I'm not doing anything wrong or I'm not doing anything to get this kind of treatment. So who knows what's going to happen?
I don't have a problem with that. But to Sean, to your case about the Ben Field, what about the students that did a protest and walked out in honor and support for Ben Field?
Exactly.
Both white, black, and black, white, Asian students. So he had a case, but there are over 100 students that supported him. So who is right, who's wrong?
And that's
apparently
the thing.
He does have some connection. He has some connection to some students if over 100 people want to walk out and protest in honor.
Yeah, I believe they started a hashtag on Twitter to support him, because what eventually happened is the sheriff of Rockland County, I believe that's the county in South Carolina that the incident happened, he was initially suspended without pay pending the investigation, and then last Wednesday he was fired. So what ended up happening is a lot of the students, like you just mentioned, those students themselves took it on Twitter, went on the social media to protest it, and they staged, which I am kind of shocked at, is they actually staged a walkout. For 15 minutes in, everybody in class decided to just walk out of class. Like this was back in the 60s. And I have no problem with that, because you have a civil right to protest. That is your right. The question is, are they protesting for the right reasons, and why you think that they actually decided to do that?
Well, like you said,
okay,
we don't know. We only saw part of a video.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what provoked him to do that. Like I said, I don't agree with what he did. Either way, he went overboard. But we don't know what triggered that. Something triggered that. It doesn't come out of blue sky.
Yeah.
So
and
we really don't know the full story.
Well, we all know South Carolina is aka the racist state. So there's always a black
white. It doesn't seem like to me this is racially motivated.
No, it's not, but the citizens in South Carolina and is the media, they have to portray it that way.
Well, of course they do. Because this is what sells.
So do you agree that we should
go ahead,
Mr. Black?
I think I think the question you're getting at is, just because this happened to an African-American teenager, is it racially motivated? I don't think it was fully racially motivated, but here begs the question. If this was a white teenager, one, would the tolerance for what happened in that classroom have been extended to be a little longer before any physical altercation happened? Would there have been a physical altercation, and would it have gotten as much attention if it was a white teen that this happened to?
Well, what if he was a black cop?
If this was a black cop and this was a white kid,
that
would be an even crazier question as far as what would have happened.
That wasn't my question. My question was, her being a black teenager, what if he was black?
Mm-hmm.
Because right
black
now we
black
have
black?
A cop that we have a cop that was killed a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Black cop killed by, I think he was either Hispanic or black himself, the assailant.
Yes.
Did you see protests? Did you see people flipping out?
And true. And you know what? Here's the thing. As we go forward with these kinds of cases, we don't see the full dynamics of what happens from either side. But the first thing that plays out there is the race card. We know that's going to happen 100% of the time, because that's always one of the easier things to do.
an easy way out.
It's
an
easy way out. No, is what Anitra said, what you say all the time, is what sells. It's not the easy way out, it's what sells. What's a better story? White guy, white versus black, or black versus black? Nobody don't care about black versus black, and the world don't really don't care white versus white. It's always black versus white. But
and, of course, the media jumped all over this. Fox News, they jumped all over it, and the first thing that they did is they made the girl out to be the scapegoat as far as the reason why it happened is because of welfare and the reason these kinds of things happen. And I'm like, you know what, this is these are going to be topics that are going to be brought up. And every time something like this happens, it's going to be a breakdown. It's going to be a breakdown as far as who's to get the blame. Is it because the girl just didn't do what she was supposed to? Is it because that African Americans are predisposed not to listen to authority, which was brought up, I believe, on one of the news shows that I looked at last week, that somebody actually threw out there, not knowing all, like we just said, not knowing all of the story, not knowing everything else, not knowing that she was in foster care, and we don't even know, as I said before, we don't know what this girl's mental state was for whatever time she'd been in school after she lost her mother, and she's in foster care. So we don't know what's going on as far as her mindset.
But still, there's always a respect for authority, no matter who's right, who's wrong. You respect your supervisor, no matter if it was wrong, she was wrong, or she was right. Respect that authority. That was really come down to.
Yeah. And here's the thing: is that where does the respect or the teaching of respect go to? And as I said before, we don't know anything about her family life other than the fact that she lost her mother and she's in foster care, and we don't know how she was taught growing up. Maybe something happened to her in her earlier life that maybe changed her mind about it, or maybe she was upset.
Or maybe she's just a brat acting out.
That could
we
be
don't know.
Also.
We don't know.
Exactly.
Like I said, we don't know the whole story.
Okay,
we only know what they released, and they released half the situation.
So, from that on, when is necessary to use excessive force on teenagers or on students, I should say, in school?
See, the issue is, one, and I had this conversation with a friend of mine who was trying to become a police officer and backed away from it because it was just too much stress. What you have are, and I think I brought this up on one of the shows a few weeks back, where if you're a police officer or deputy or anybody of that nature, and you are you're learning to keep the peace, to break up fights, to make sure that something doesn't escalate, you're sometimes taken out of your comfort zone. Let's say you live in a particular area where you know the area, you know the people, you know the streets, you know everybody around. You become a police officer and they stick you in another borough, they stick you in another district, and you have to learn whether people are, they're being loud, whether it's just the way the neighborhood is, or there's just those people are being loud, or is it just, you know, the culture itself? Is it something that you have to actually get physical on? Is it a fight you're breaking up? All of those things you have to worry about and keep in mind. And when you're dealing with teenagers, especially in this day and age where we're seeing a lot of violence now, social media, people being jumped, gang activity happening, where now you have police officers that are not just worrying about keeping the peace, but also self-preservation, because you don't know if you're going to school to be a security guard and you end up getting shot or stabbed by another student. So you have to keep that in mind. My thing is, if you're going to be a security guard, police officer, truant officer, whatever is the case, the only way that you are going to physically get involved in something like this is if a fight breaks out and you have to physically restrain somebody, breaking up a fight, or if you're trying to protect yourself or another person from physical harm. In that video that we saw, that was not the case. So in that sense, that police officer, security guard, whatever his official title was before he was fired, was wrong. That could have been handled a completely different way. They could have gotten everybody out once the teacher explained everything, talked to everybody in the class, and they could have escorted everybody in the class outside and let the officer talk to this person and find out what the problem is, because that would have de-escalated the situation, especially if the teacher did nothing to settle everything down, or if he did, it didn't work. And that would have definitely helped out.
Yes and no, but what about the video that I sent to you guys earlier about the student that was misbehaving from the teacher? The kid that picked up a desk about to throw at a teacher but didn't do it, but everybody else was fooling around, video recording, then recording the situation, and the poor teacher was like, either she didn't care or was afraid for her life. You guys saw the video, and you know it was shameful.
Yes.
From there, you call the officers to come in to defuse the problem, and no one listens to you. It would piss you off. It would say your mind go rage. It may you want to kill a kid. Yes, yes, there's training for that, but sometimes training is not good as reality. You know what to do, but sometimes knowing what to do doesn't work.
And you also have to know, you have to also know the situation and how to deal with it on some level. And they train you for probably a million different scenarios. The difference is now, how do you apply that to the situation before, one, it gets worse, and two, to make sure that no one is going to, because you know what's going to end up happening at some point, someone's going to get sued. It's all over the news. It's in the media.
You kick ass first, answer a question later. Someone had to put the line somewhere. Had to put their foot down. You cannot let this problem escalate bigger and bigger. No matter what you do, you're going to get sued. It's damn if you do, damn if you don't. Because we're in a world of lawsuits right now. So I'm going to go sue Anisha because she got me drunk on Thursday night. I could sue her for that. That's not easy to sue someone around.
Yeah, that's my fault. Considering he's the one that ordered the drinks.
Yeah.
So that's my fault.
Well, I'm just saying. That's how easy it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if I did not get drunk, I'd sue Anisha for not getting me drunk. His lawyers will take any type of stupid case whatsoever. So as an adult, you put your foot down. Teachers put their foot down. But some have to get it. It's either your life or their life. I'm not praising Ben Phil for dragging the student out, but I'm going to stand the mentality behind it. That's my argument there. Because teachers will tell you, there'll be times you want to take that belt out and do something that their parents should have done at home. All these misbehaviors start from home, start from some type of parenting, whether it's the original parent, a single mother, a single father, or the foster parent, or grandma or grandpa. Nobody knows. Family now is not what it used to be back then. Not school.
Yeah, the family unit that we were used to listening to in the 70s and in the 60s, that died a long time ago. We're in a different time now where you don't have a quote-unquote nuclear family, where you have mom and dad and the two dogs and all. You don't have that. So the thing that you have to worry about is how is the message being taught? And then on top of that, where on earth are you going to get the ideals to pass it on to the young kids that are growing up, where they're going to be able to respect authority? And like you just stated, it starts at home. I know the both of you have kids, so that's one of those things that you're instilling into your children. It's a matter of right now wondering, how do you teach that and make sure that they apply it as they get older?
Okay, so Anisha B, if you were in that situation right now, you're an officer, you got called to the room, and you see this student not paying you no money and not respecting you, what would be your first reaction or your first thought that might come up?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, I would like to think that I would call backup. I'd call somebody else to come help me. If I can't control the child and I can't, you know, calm them down, have someone, you know, maybe they might be able to do something that I'm not thinking of. I would think, hope so.
And I think the reason why that this has to be case, as I alluded to, there's eventually going to be the lawsuits coming down the pike. The girl, after all of this happened, did get sustain some injuries. They did an interview with, I believe, the state representative Todd Rutherford from Columbia, who actually is representing her in case there is a lawsuit. They've withheld the teen's name, obviously, for obvious reasons. And she's got her arm is in a cast. She has, I believe, an arm injury, a back injury. She was grabbed by the throat and thrown to the ground. So I mean, she's going to be hurt. Remember, she was still in one of those desks.
Yeah, Sean, but let's be honest. We saw the video. Yes, she could probably got injured, but for a lawsuit, you have to play out the role. Or my arm is broken, and all the doctors get involved because everybody wanted money in the pot. Let's be honest.
It's true.
I'm not saying that she really broke her arm. Yes, she got injured, maybe a bruise, but a broken arm? Oh, come on. You know they exaggerate the story a little bit. I guarantee you that. But carry on.
I'm not saying that she, because no one has said that there's going to actually be a lawsuit. But this guy is representing her in her quote-unquote best interest, I guess, to figure out what's going on. They probably want to actually get some laws on the books that actually help this out so something like this doesn't happen again. But as we just stated, there are a ton of these kinds of things happening on an almost regular basis. Well, we just had in New York, downtown Brooklyn, just a few days ago, there was a shooting in front of a popular restaurant, and that was, from what we read in the newspaper, was over some sort of gang issue or whatever that was. So whatever authority involved that was there, that didn't work. We have a lot of instances we've seen in the news where we've seen people in school going after teachers and teachers not respecting each other. The teachers don't respect the students, and the students don't respect the teachers.
All right, Sean Black, sorry to cut you off. We have a caller. Annie, up. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone.
Hello there.
Where are you guys in the conversation?
Yes.
We are talking about Ben Field, the cop. Oh, I'm sorry, Annie up told me, the school resource officer.
The school resource manager. Remember, he got fired last week.
Former, yes. No, like, you know, he's like a hero to me. So, but what is your intake on that?
On what? That he's a hero?
No, on the situation itself. How it should have been handled? Was it right for him to get fired? Well, did he go overboard?
Yes and yes. He deserved to get fired. He went overboard, as you just stated, that, you know, from a previous conversation that people didn't hear us talk about, you were referring to him as a police officer, which many people are, and many articles online and the news are reporting. He's a police officer. He's a police officer. Not true. There's a lot of misinformation that's come out with this case, as do many cases. I mean, at best the media is only 60% true to begin with, and that's the New York Times. Prestigious New York Times only gets it 60% right. So then you can downgrade your the authenticity of your information based off of that 60%. He is a resource officer employed by the school system, basically, which equals to he's a glorified hall monitor. Mm-hmm. He's a hall monitor in a uniform that is an adult. They used to have students that would monitor the hall and make sure people, other fellow students go to their class on time, or, you know, if they fell out in the hall, they could
like a truant
officer. Help. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now our system in society, with a lot of schools, they actually do have police officers in the school, which is a whole other issue, because then you can get criminal records, misdemeanors, from misbehaving in school. So he is not that. He is not a true officer. He's a resource officer.
He's a babysitter. He's a babysitter, but you still respect your babysitter. When someone babysits you, you respect the babysitter, and you listen to what your babysitter said, right, until your parents get home, right? So that was this Ben Field is. He's a babysitter. Hall monitor or not, You respect authority. If someone asks you to leave, you leave. That's the bottom line. You want
well, here's, to here, here's something.
That part I do not disagree with. However, no matter what he said or did not warrant him putting his hands on her. He is a 300-pound man, a grown adult, putting his hands on a child that is 16 years old. She probably weighs 120 pounds wet, and he is 300 pounds. That is ridiculous and out of order.
Okay, before we carry on, I got two more callers. K-Dog and Ms. Jones. K-Dog, you got 2 minutes. What's on your mind, K-Dog?
Well, all I got to say is that this whole thing was just brutal. I mean, there was no need for that excessive force. I mean, especially if she did not commit any kind of act of violence, there was no need for him to put his hands on her like that. He dragged her on the floor like she was some kind of a criminal or something. I mean, there was no need for it. It was just total excessive force. It was unnecessary.
Okay, Ms. Jones?
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello.
Hi, I was still in Jamaica. Let me stop. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, being that they change the time. But I saw the video, and I was just like, wow, interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone put out a post a few days after saying that the girl was going through something. Like, I think she was just put up for adoption, and she was just, like, really out of it. I think some of her family members had died or whatever.
Yeah,
she just lost her mother a few weeks
No, that's not true. That's not true. That is not true. The Daily News corrects that. She is currently in foster care.
Yeah.
And if you know about anything of the foster care system, foster care children usually don't have a lot of agency about themselves.
Exactly.
So it is very plausible that her cell phone is the only thing that she has, that she owns. When she was taken from her home, removed from her situation, she probably didn't even have a bag. She probably, the foster care agent probably took her shopping so she would have something to wear the next day at school, if she was even wearing clean clothes. She might have only got clean underwear if she was lucky.
And
well,
that's one
Hold on. Because ending up in that, we had a big disagreement about this, so I want to hear other people's input.
Yeah.
Was this any part of, do you think that Ben Phil had any racism in him for him to go after this black teenager?
Well, all I got to say is that was there racism involved? No, there was no racism involved. But there is a underlying unconscious bias that made Ben Fields feel like it was okay to do something like that. You know? And you have
towards
to look at it. Like,
towards a black teenager, female.
But I'm going to get to something else, too. But it was, he felt that, you know, it was an unconscious bias that made him feel that it was okay to do something like that to a teenager. But at the same time, okay, let's bring in the racial, let's play the racial card for a little bit, because, you know, sometimes, you know, with black children, you know, they're often seen as animals or adults who made it okay in his mind that doing that was an appropriate action. But after all, let's look at the big picture. She's a 16-year-old girl. She's not an 18-year-old criminal. It wasn't just a guy he did. It wasn't a guy he did. This was a girl. I mean, he literally dragged her while she was still sitting on her desk. That's insane, man. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
But here's the thing. We don't know how it all started.
Does it really matter?
And I'm not saying what he did was okay. It wasn't. Absolutely not. I'm not condoning what he did. But there's a reason why he did what he did. Something happened. We don't know what went down to start this situation.
Well, from what we heard, and the teacher was standing right there. The teacher was standing right there when this whole incident took place. Because this is the thing. He said that, oh, that she was being disruptive. Now, when that officer came in, the bit from what the video showed, we did not hear her talk back to the officer. The officer was just telling her to get up and leave. Now, I'm sure she was probably, you know how teenagers are. Teenagers, they're going to rebel regardless. However, what took place afterwards, what took place on that video, it was just like the craziest, most violent thing ever. I mean, he just literally like grabbed her and threw her. I didn't hear like, I'm asking you to leave or get up from your desk and we're taking you to the principal's office. No, it's just grab and drag. I mean, it was just insane.
And I think that's the reason why the sheriff got involved with the investigation to make sure that this did not continue. Because, like everybody stated, we know that a 16-year-old girl has no business being ragdolled around a classroom. Just from the sense, as I stated before, there was no violence involved in this situation. There wasn't as if she had a weapon or if she was going after another student where the physical force would have been needed to restrain her. She wasn't a violent person. She was sitting at a desk and just refusing to talk or refusing to take her cell phone, put a cell phone away and study or whatever was going on in the classroom.
And if you listen closely, I mean, everybody who's seen the video, we did not hear no cursing. We did not hear anything like that. We just saw some officer walking in and, you know, probably saying something, oh, would you please leave? And probably, you know, how, like I said before, teenagers are going to rebel, but there was no need for that kind of excessive force.
Okay, so how about
there are eyewitness reports.
So wait, I have an actual interesting question.
On Twitter,
sorry, go ahead.
Eyewitness reports from the students that were in the classroom talking about the girl, talking about what happened, saying, yes, she's a new student into class, yes, she's in foster care, she's very quiet, she keeps to herself, and they have all unanimously said that it was the cell phone, that she didn't put it away fast enough, but she did put it away. And then when she was asked to leave the classroom, she just would not talk. She didn't move. She didn't say anything.
Yes,
and
she didn't say anything.
Yes. So.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm.
That there are multiple eyewitnesses' accounts of what happened.
Okay, Anisha B, what's your question before I go to mine?
Well, I mean, I would really just like to know what happened. I understand that, but like I said, they teenagers embellish. Teenagers don't say everything that happens. This is a fact.
And the funny thing about it is, so do security officers and people in power.
Exactly.
They embellish things as well.
Exactly.
So somewhere
in
the middle is the full truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guarantee there are many things that are not being said. I just wonder what it was.
Okay. Well, to start with Annie up, my question is, can someone who apparently he's dating a black woman, because the media has a claim that he's dating a black person, because, you know, God forbid he's dating somebody else, can someone date the opposite race and be racist at the same time?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that they even bring it up, that he's dating a black woman, is irrelevant and totally
who's they in a
out
black
of pocket.
Woman?
The officer.
Yeah,
the officer.
Officer Slam. Officer Slam. You know, let's also remind ourselves that his nickname at the school is called is Officer Slam, a.k.a.
Yeah.
Officer Slam.
I cannot deny that his name is Officer Slam, but that doesn't mean that he's a racist.
So which would lead anybody with some sort of intelligence that this is what he does. This is what he is known for. He gets handsy, he gets physical, and does these type of things. So back to your question, of a person can absolutely date another person of another race and be racist. Because I have seen this seen this people. I could name people. I won't, but I could name you people that are in
relationships. Shout them out. Let me.
No.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we're not getting anybody sued over here.
Yeah. I got no money. Okay.
Yeah. And marriage relationships with people of a different race, and the reason that they consider them different, you know, you're not like them, you know,
yeah.
you speak different, you know, you're like those people that reside at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you're Obama black, okay,
yeah.
you live in post-racial America like the first family does. There's only one family that lives in post-racial America, and they don't even fully live there, and they live at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. No one else. So, and that's racist. And to even say like, oh, I can't be racist because my friend's black, my girlfriend's black,
that proves you're racist.
Yeah,
that proves racism right there.
Right, because you have to announce it to everyone that you're not racist.
Because, no, but maybe I love black people.
Because you know someone of color.
Exactly. That doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that oxymoron that I'm not racist, but I'm dating someone? I'm like, I'm trying to understand a little bit more.
No, because in your mind, you separate them. They're not like.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
They speak with an intelligence.
You're not like the others.
They don't put Jordans on their kids.
Oh,
they don't eat at McDonald's.
Oh, you don't.
Stuff like
oh, you don't talk
comments.
Like you don't talk like the others. I mean,
oh, you don't drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's
watermelon.
That's
you know those kinds of thought processes.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I mean. Those are the comments.
What do you mean I don't talk? What do you mean I don't talk like the others?
Is that racism or racial profiling?
It's a little bit of both. Because you to profile, in some instance, there has to be a tinge of racism underneath.
Right.
And that's the way a lot of it goes.
And you know, a lot of that, like, let's just say you see a black person who doesn't speak an ounce of slang, but yet you're going to come up to them and say, hey, yo, what's up, man? Yo, what's good? And they're like, hello, how are you? Oh, my goodness,
right.
You don't speak like the others, but you don't.
Why you sound
white? Like
okay,
because that's also racist to say because you're not white and you speak
right.
of intelligence or you speak like
you, speak
you have some sense about you or you're college educated that
yeah.
and you're a person of color
you
somehow abandoned your race and now you're trying to deny yourself. That you're a person of color and you want to be white because you have command of the English language.
Exactly.
And someone else
does. It's been told that. It's been told to many. And you know what? It's being told even to this day. 2015, they're still being said.
Yeah.
All right. So, hold on. I have to send this question to Sean Black. It's a Twitter question from a disappointed Mets fan. I don't know why.
What's
the controversy if 90% of the country believe he was wrong and he was fired? So what's the problem?
Here's the issue.
In
the
other
problem,
words, why are we talking about it right now if the problem is somewhat solved?
The problem. Yeah. So here's the problem. The problem is that everybody thinks that everything is cut and dry, and the only time racism exists is if somebody throws it out on the news. The people that did the story tried to make it even more of a racial issue in the sense that just bringing up, as we just talked about, just bringing up the fact that he's dating a black person, it's irrelevant, but two, it's trying to throw character assassination in the story from the sense that, well, he did this, but he's not a racist guy because he's dating a black person. And that...
Mm-hmm.
We've seen slants in the news and in the media of that kind. It's like saying I'm not homophobic because I have a gay friend. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just start throwing out all kinds of gay slurs because I can.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thought process. It just does not jibe with anyone. Nobody's believing that.
Cool, but to go back to what you guys saying, to you and Annie up, with all the examples, is that really racism or classism overall? Or a little bit of both, once again?
Classism, racism has different sections of it, and classism is part of it. Because you can be racist and be racist based on how much a person makes or how superior you feel you are to a particular person.
Yes,
there's racism, within certain races, and they have classism involved.
Absolutely. Classism is more prominent within races, but it's definitely a part of it, because it goes back to the statement, what I was saying, you're not like those people.
Yeah.
You know, you're like this and you're like that, and you drive a nice car and live in a nice house and you have a good job. You know, you're a vice president for a bank. You know, you're not like those people.
No,
like,
and that's the problem.
So to
that's racism and classism, because you're implying that a person of color can only be in some particular socioeconomical standard.
Exactly.
All
right. So to Ms. Jones, Annie Up, and K-Dog, how do you feel about the students that walked out in protest and in support of Ben Fields? I'm like, everybody's criticizing him, but he still has some support of other students. How do you feel about that?
I'm confused about this whole situation.
That's their parents' fault.
Because,
I mean, this is in South Carolina, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're still trying to fly the Confederate flag,
thinking
we're in two different countries. We're in the United States of America, right? When we pledge the allegiance, we say one nation under God. We don't say one nation under God plus the Confederate flag.
Exactly.
There's no need for fucking rednecks.
And a lot of the people that were protesting, a lot of those teens that were protesting them, they're black. So it's not like
it's just all white people doing it.
They're African American teens that are protesting it.
This is generational, like in South Carolina, you know, like this is handed down, that, you know, the fact that even a black girl would not comply with a white man in South Carolina. That's really, like, if we really want to get down to the issue, the issue is that a person of color did not comply with a white
man. did not bow their head down to a white person and say yes, which is so accustomed in the South. That's the thing. Oh, sorry for interrupting, but you know
that's generational, because and far as like black kids protesting in the street, you know, that's also can be because they don't want to be victimized and they don't want to be the person next. You know, it's self preservation.
Yeah.
Because you know, we don't want no trouble. Just keep it moving. Please,
you know. In other words, please, you know, and. Pardon for what I'm about to say, but, you know, the thing is, oh, there's good white folk. I mean, listen, let's look at the big picture here. Yes, racism is relevant. Racism is alive and well in 2015, just as it was 50 years ago. So let's not try to hide it or sweep it under the rug as if it doesn't exist, because guess what? It does exist.
Yep.
Okay. Ms. Jones, what's your intake?
Man, I'm glad he's out of a job. No more slamming the kids. Mr. Slam, bye. Bye, boo.
Yeah, but he also could get another job as another security guard or officer or anything. And who says this might not happen again? You never know. Weird things happen in this country.
Yeah, he might end up in the WWE at some point. You never know.
Oh, that is wow.
I mean, as I stated earlier, he does have a history in his past of things that he has done. He has lawsuits against him that he's going through.
Yeah.
So at the minimum, we're talking about one how to manage aggression at the job that you're in. At the maximum, we're talking about a guy who put his hands on a teenager and roughed her up because he, not necessarily is because I'm white and you're black and you didn't comply. You just didn't comply with what I told you to do when you needed to do it.
Okay,
and
so
that's the narrative.
Excuse me, Sean Black, to Ms. Jones and Annie Avocado, what do you think is the best way to handle a troubled teenager in class who very disrespectful or causing chaos? What do you think is the best way if you was in that situation?
I think the schools aren't prepared or equipped to handle situations such as this or in general. I mean, you know, even just talking in class. I always got trouble for talking in class since kindergarten. So it was...
Yes, you do talk a lot.
I know. Thank you. So it comes in handy sometimes. So schools in general, they're not equipped to deal with the issues, and they're, you know, the American public school system is still going off the 1950s model anyways. So, I mean, the system is broken to begin with. And then, you know, today with social media and phones, smartphones, it's a different element. Kids, you know, are going to bring that to school because they might have to talk to their parents or their babysitter or whatever. That's how people communicate now.
Mm-hmm.
So the schools aren't ready for this. And that's the larger issue of funding, of revamping the whole program.
Especially in the South where you don't have a lot of money pooling into the school system as
right.
is. I mean, if the school systems in the New York areas in Northeast and Jersey are that bad, you can imagine how it is in the Bible Belt or how is it in Texas or how it is in Wyoming or someplace else where you know they don't get the money. And the training has to be there to teach people, one, a different way of enforcing rules and a different way of dealing with the teenagers of today, because we're not talking about 1960s, 70s, or even the 80s or 90s teenagers. There's a different mindset. Everybody's got Facebook, Twitter, or whatever other social media they have, emails, taking pictures, videos on their phone, and passing that around. And as stated before, the ironic part of this is that the protests of those teenagers harkened back to the 60s where they actually did a walkout. It's something that you don't hear about anymore. And in the advent of using Twitter and their social media to stage a walkout, which is good from their civil rights point of view, but also makes you wonder how misplaced it may be that there's all this support for somebody that would do this to a 16-year-old.
Right. True. But at the end of the day, teach your child to respect authority. If your teacher says, hand over the cell phone, hand the fucking cell phone over. It's that simple. Parents don't teach their children to respect authority anymore.
Well,
then that's the underlying problem.
Well, the girl was removed from her parents because of abuse or neglect. So
no, of course, I'm saying this is not the first incident. This happens. This is not the first time this has happened. But a lot of times, it's the students, they just don't know how to respect authority. And I'm sorry, but when you don't respect authority, you don't know how that adult is going to react. Like I said before, I'm not saying he's right. Totally wrong. I'm not agreeing with what he did, but a lot of kids this day and age do not respect authority. They'll laugh at it before they respect it.
And there are a lot of kids that don't even respect themselves for the authority. So that's
a
bigger problem.
And whose fault is that? That is adults. That is
adults,
That is us.
Well,
Go ahead, Kaydon.
Well, allow me to say a few things. Sorry for interrupting you guys, but, you know, all kids are disruptive at some point. But there has to be a level that it needs to be addressed. You know, it needs to be assessed at some point, you know, especially when it comes to disruptive teenagers. And like you said, many of the schools are not ready to deal with today's teenagers. I mean, there's a lot to be said. Now, this is the thing that I wanted to point out, too. You know, the better question is how to deal with overly aggressive officers who are supposed to be keeping the kids safe. This is the question that
right.
we need to address.
Oh, it's his fault
okay,
that he's even
so,
still there. He should have been fired when the first incident occurred.
That's
this
exactly
is not, I don't only blame him. It's, I also blame the school. Like,
the
why was
you
he still employed there?
Well, because it's under investigation. The investigation
oh, please,
go out.
Come on. They should have let
I'm
him
sure
go the very first I'm time sure. that something was proven, he should have been gone.
Okay.
So.
No. Once again, we don't know the whole story. I'm sure there's some politics behind it. There's some cover-up.
Oh, of course.
But we may never know the truth about that.
And it wouldn't have gotten this far if it wasn't recorded in class by somebody
exactly.
else. This would have been a completely
exactly.
different narrative.
And you know what,
it would have been hearsay if it wasn't recorded.
Right.
Hold
and
on.
You know what else
he's
that really bugged out about
he's
it?
Trouble. This whole incident started because she didn't put her cell phone away fast enough. We
and
would not be having this conversation and discussing this right now and be outraged about it at this moment if another student
did not pull out
their
cell phone.
Exactly.
And have it out when he wasn't supposed to have it out.
Now, allow me to say this. Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry, but allow me to say this. You know what? Hey, hallelujah for modern technology, because guess what? Like you said, we wouldn't be having this conversation had somebody else not pulled out their cell phone and made a video of this. Because you know what? It would have been like his word against hers, like, oh, well, she was acting up. She said something to me. You know how some officers are. They will say, oh, the person was overly aggressive, and that when they tried to remove her from the classroom, that she became violent and they have to use excessive force.
Right.
And the videos. Now that a kid was brave enough, was smart enough to pull up a boy that I'm not sure if it was a guy that videotaped. Yeah, it was a guy.
It was a guy.
Yeah, it was a guy that videotaped it, and her friend who tried to help her was even arrested.
She was arrested, exactly.
Yes, she was arrested.
All right, but I have to change the subject a little bit, because talk about investigation, as Anisha pointed out. These things take forever, but the system is messed up. Talk about a system that's messed up. Sean Black have a problem with Jared, the subway guy, and his case. Why it took a long time for this case to not be solved or for the feds to take action. Sean, give us a brief story. Very brief, please.
I'll give it to you very briefly. Anybody that looks at TV know that they actually played the tapes that he had his conversations with. What my issue was we knew going in that there were some investigation going on. My issue was, why did it have to take 4.5 years of taping, recording, and all of this other stuff to get this investigation going? Because the reason why I brought this up to Hot Rod is, in that 4.5 years time, there are still children being molested in that investigation. But
right.
they can't
yes,
do anything because they're still doing the investigation as that's going on. And if they
right.
had something there, what's the problem? They got to act on that. That's my issue.
I totally agree with you, Sean.
I think
when you're in a federal investigation like that, they're going for the max.
Yeah.
So they're collecting as much as possible and trying to do their due diligence, because if they miss one step, the whole investigation goes down. They don't get the conviction. All of that years leading up to it, all that work, all those man hours, OT money, everything would have been wasted. So
exactly.
It does move very slow. And I agree with you. Why does it take 4.5 years? That's bureaucracy.
There's an easy answer for that. It's not their top priority. They have other things to worry about.
You know what? And this is the thing.
That's due to limited resources. I mean, we are in several wars.
Yes,
we
have to worry about
that. Is everyone, not to go off topic, but is everyone aware we're in a new war in Syria?
Yep.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
we know that.
We have to worry about ISIS. We have to worry about so many things. So something like that is not their top priority.
But you know what? This is still a serious problem, because this guy should have been, I mean, completely locked up and thrown, and you know, thrown away somewhere, because look at the amount of years. And Sean, I agree with you 100% that it took this long. And I mean, this guy, this was a guy that's committing some horrible acts against children.
If you listen to the tapes, because it was the Dr. Phil did a two-parter on this. If any of you listen to the tapes, it is one of the most disgusting, gut-wrenching things I have
ever
heard.
I heard clips of it,
okay,
and I was
thinking,
like,
John, can you give us a synopsis of the tapes? Because I haven't seen the tapes.
Then,
oh, my goodness.
I'll give you the briefest thing.
Yeah, I don't think I want to see the tapes.
Dr. Phil
no,
basically
it,
went, and it's all audio phone conversations, and
okay.
It was of the friend, the woman who was a reporter befriending Jared so that they can go and do this. And a lot of it is he would coax her into saying, well, why don't we go to Thailand and we'll just get some children and then we'll groom them. He basically went into how he groomed the children, what he was going to do, what he wanted to do. And the breaking point for her was that he actually decided to bring in her. He wanted to bring her two children in, who are 10 and 11. He said, would you have a problem if I put a camera in your bedroom so that I can see your two kids naked? I mean, he's nonchalant about this stuff.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me he was going to put cameras to tape? You know, this is just disgusting, man.
As I stated before.
That's gross.
If you have the stomach for it, I don't know if Dr. Phil's episodes are online. It's disgusting.
I'm upset at it because this is just, those are kids, man. Those are little kids.
He bragged about on these tapes about the stuff that he did, about how he would go to like charity events and befriend the kids and talk to the kids, and they would offer them, you know, would come with him, go on these trips. He talked about how it's easier in Thailand, I guess, because of the laws involved.
Of course,
And he shows that stereotypical ideal that you are going to groom the child to become a victim.
Yeah, because you know what, and Sean, and mind if I say this, sorry guys for interrupting, but, you know, by them waiting this long, you know, they sacrificed the safety and lives of the other children that were involved.
Exactly.
But they got paid at the end.
He did I believe there was a settlement where he gathered, I think it was $1.5 million paid to, I believe, 10 victims that we know about in this particular settlement. So they all got about $100,000. Not to mention whatever kind of counseling that they're going to need and any
lifelong
aftercare that they're going to need afterwards. I mean,
all lifelong of it, because you're going to need decades of it till adulthood. I mean,
exactly.
That could mess somebody up for life.
Yeah.
Okay, on that note, Annie, what is your final thoughts on everything?
I can't hear you. What?
What is your final thoughts on everything?
Oh, on that week, I think that Officer Slam was right to get fired. Good riddance. There needs to be an investigation launched at the school. I'm sure there's other Officer Slam juniors that maybe he has proteges running around down there.
Shoot.
So an investigation needs to be launched into the school system.
Okay, very, very good. K-Dog?
I felt that what happened to that little girl, I mean, it's going to leave her traumatized for the rest of her life. And I felt that, you know, like Ann says, let me just repeat something else, too, is that officers who commit such horrible acts like that against children should be fired and should be have their badges taken away from them. And as for that Jared character, I believe that he should be horsewhipped and castrated. That's what I got to say.
Oh, okay.
Well, his sentencing is, I believe, next month. So we'll figure out what's going to happen with that.
Well, sit him down with Big Bubba inside a cell.
Okay. Ms. Jones, what's your final thought, dear?
Did you guys discuss that class thing with the students? Did you talk about that?
Yes, we did.
Oh, dang it, I missed that. Well, I just want to say I can't wait to hear the outcome of that. That poor teacher looked like she was so scared for her life. Oh my gosh. And
yes,
for the rest of them, I gotta watch the Jared show. I gotta the Dr. Phil to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure. I don't know if he was diagnosed or anything, but I'm sure he has. Well, we know he has pedophilia tendencies, so he'll probably. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, K-Dog, and Ms. Jones. Once again, guys, you made the show very interesting. Thank you so much. We have to do this again
next
Monday.
Yes,
thank you. We will. Next Monday.
Thank you.
Yes, we will. You're welcome.
Thanks,
guys.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys. Hey, have a good night, y'all.
Yes, you
too.
Good night.
All right.
Okay. All right. We got a few minutes left. Let's go on to the questions. Anitra B. have questions for Sean Black and I. Anitra B., take it away.
Yes, I do. I thought long and hard about my questions. Hold on, get my notes. That's right, boys.
Yeah.
I have notes.
Uh-oh, here we go. Get the drum roll.
What?
Well, you know, we only have a few minutes, so any time now before.
Okay,
well,
I'm
going to
start off with, since the two of you are sports gurus, I'm starting off with a sports question.
Okay.
Okay, apparently, Terry Collins' decision to let, what the hell is his name, Matt Harvey pitch the ninth inning. Do you think it was a smart one?
I'll answer.
Apparently there's a huge controversy about it.
Yeah,
it was all
I'll
over
answer
all
this
the newspapers.
One. Matt Harvey, I'm not going to get too far into it, but Matt Harvey has never pitched a complete game in his entire career. He's not
a
guy that has an arm where he's going to go from inning 1 through 9.
He did in 2013, no?
Yeah, he pitched a gem of a game up to that point. I have no issue with him arguing, saying, I want to get on the mound. The ninth inning started. He's like, look, you're probably tired. Go on out there. The first time he gave up that walk initially, he should have been benched after that. You did what you can. Get familiar in there. Finish the game and do it that way. But after the walk, then you got the stolen base. Then the next play, we all know what happens if you watch the World Series, and the rest is history. So I'm not mad that Collins let Harvey pitch the ninth inning. He should have yanked him after the first walk. That's where I think the issue was. You don't let him. You don't keep the pitcher out there an extra player to go and see what happens from there, because then all disaster happened, as we just saw. So
I see. Hot Rod?
That's more of a Sean question because he's more the Mets fan, but I agree with him. But overall, this is one of those decisions, is damn if you do, damn if you don't. The pitcher went up to you, he demanded the ball, and the crowd chanted his name. So he did the right decision and the wrong decision, but that's what happens, and there's always next year. Next question.
Okay, now we are the absolute truth.
Yes.
We do discuss serious topics. I mean, our banter back and forth is one thing. We're very friendly. We're very happy-go-lucky, three of us. But our topics are always very serious. Our questions are also. So, my question is on a lighter side. Why don't you shut up?
Get to the point.
I'm going to be on the news one day. I'm going to be on the news one day, I swear. White woman runs over Haitian. I swear,
uh-oh.
I'm going to be on the news.
Yeah, it'll be on the news, all right, that's for sure.
Okay, here is my silly question.
Okay.
Hot Rod, this goes to you first. If you were able to have superpowers, what would they be?
Easy, super sperm.
No, that's a superpower. What would it be?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I have that power already. That power will be of Wolverine. I like Wolverine power a lot. Mutation, because I always get hurt a lot, so I like to heal. So I like to say healing powers I would like to have. Is that good enough for you?
It's a little boring, but it's fine.
John Black?
Well, since all of my senses are really acute, I think it would be interesting if I would be able to become invisible. you know, just to just phase in and out, disappear.
You damn peeping Tom. You would be peeping Tom. That's why.
It would be really interesting if I was able to do that, just to just disappear and then phase in and out. Like, you know how some superhero, they can teleport from one place to another?
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely save on MetroCard fares, you know? Just, oh, I'm just going so-and-so. Poof, I'm there.
That would
okay,
be cool.
Shawback, your questions.
Okay, here's my question. We've seen a lot of things about vaccinations, and we all know that vaccinations are a serious topic involved. Here's my question to the both of you. Now, because of an instance that happened where there is a teenager who was in the hospital, believing that the hospitalization happened from a bad flu vaccine, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Do you think that because of certain people's religious beliefs, do you think that anybody that refuses a vaccination should be forced to take it, or should their children be kept out of school because of that? Throw it to the both of you. You guys can answer whenever you want.
And they should be, hurry up.
My personal belief, you need to be vaccinated. I also feel that a doctor needs to be present to let you know what you need. You can't go to a pharmacist and have them stick you. You know, there's certain things that certain people need. Your body lacks. Certain people's bodies, immune systems are stronger in one area than the other. But I do think vaccinations are important. You know, I feel bad that his body reacted a certain way to a certain vaccine, but they are very important. And I am for the schools not letting you letting children in if they're not vaccinated.
All right.
Everyone, we discuss all the time freedom of religion. If a religion requires you not to take the vaccine, you have your rights. It doesn't make it right. You have your rights. So as a young child, as a parent, to find out that so-and-so is not vaccinated, I might be a little bit concerned, but at the same time, I'm not into medicine myself. I think vaccines and all that are full of crap, and some of them have reactions to it. There are side effects of vaccines. But since kids are getting very sick today, I don't see what's the big deal right now. Kids are going to get sick regardless. It is very something serious. I'm sure there's a cure for that. But I respect the parents if they go by their religious background, and don't want a child to be vaccinated. If the school want to ban the kids from that, that's a school. The school has that right too to avoid a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So it's like a give and take. If you don't want your child to be vaccinated, you may have to take that child home and be in school, you know, get them schooling at home, because you have to keep in mind that no parent wants their child to go to school without getting the needle up their behind or up their legs or arms or whatever that could be. Does that make sense, Sean Black, to you?
I think that makes sense. It's kind of the thought process in my mind. My whole idea is if you're going to be in school where you're going to have literally 800, 900 children, maybe 1,000 children, depending on the school and the size of the school, that child needs to have a vaccine, because I am pretty sure if some sort of outbreak happens and your child is involved in getting sick because they were not vaccinated against it, there'd be a completely different story about that. Now, as you just stated, if you have a religious disagreement with it, fine. There's no issue with that. But that child should not be allowed to come into the school. And the reason why I say that is, as I stated before, if you have a child that is not vaccinated and they go to school and they get sick and they spread whatever disease or whatever sickness that they may have contracted because of the lack of the vaccine, then I want to see where the lawsuits are going to pop up from every which way, because this kid didn't get vaccinated for a particular things there. There are reasons why there are vaccines, rubella, polio, mumps, all those diseases that we found cures for and they give you vaccines for. There's a reason for that.
Exactly.
Okay.
I guarantee you those same parents who, oh my God, it's against my religion, cry, oh, why did this happen to my kid? Because you didn't vaccine them, dummy.
But there have been cases where even, I cannot name the religion, they're not allowed to receive blood transfusions. So if your child is in danger of dying and they don't receive blood, well, your religion do not allow you to receive blood from another person, what do you do? Do you go
and
by your religion?
And that's the hard part.
And you know what? It's the only person that can make the final decision are the parents of that child, not the state, not the court, not the church or anything like that. That's the parent's decision. But is it a right decision or a wrong moral decision?
And this is where social services comes in, because social services, at least allegedly, their ideal is the protection and welfare of the child becomes tantamount to anything else, that child has to be protected. And if they feel or deem that having this child in a high-risk situation, a public school where there are germs and kids everywhere, and they're touching things and then they get sick and pass it along to everyone else, if that is the case, that has to be taken care of, and it'll probably be thought of as the child's well-being above and all else.
Okay. All right, we have a few minutes left. So my question to you guys, red meat, bacon, hot dogs, sausages, or give you cancer now, as reported last week that broke out in social media, processed meat. Can we eat anything anymore that doesn't give us cancer? I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord. Everything in moderation.
Yeah. I don't think that they've said anything any different than something we already knew. I think if you're trying to stay alive, anything you consume in moderation will have there'd be no problem. They're not telling you that you can't have my bologna has a first name or anything like that once in a blue moon. But if you're eating 4 or 5 times a day and you're eating bacon and you're eating hamburgers and you're eating pork chops and all that other stuff, every day, 3-4 times a day, there's probably a higher risk of you getting sick. And one of the other things that they talked about is be careful when you sear the meat, because when you sear meat, the searing on the sides of the meat may have carcinogens in it that may contribute to maybe one down the road getting cancer or having something happen to you health-wise. But I don't think eating red meat all the time is healthy anyway. You got to have it in moderation.
Well, the problem is when this report broke out, like, really, guys, we all know processed meat is not good for us, but we all eat it. Just like cigarettes, we know it's not good for us, but some people smoke. Liquor, please. Anisha and I know that very well.
They're both zombies right now. I don't even know how they're doing this show right now.
Jeez, it's not good for you. But
exactly.
You know what? We do it anyway because we love it. We do it. That's the bottom line. There's nothing we could do about it, but as you guys say, in moderation. On that note, Anisha B., what is your final thought?
Well, let's see. When it comes to that officer guy, I really hope he's fired and that in the future agencies take more precaution and do the right kind of background checks so he doesn't get rehired somewhere else. Which I highly doubt it, but, yeah, just a thought.
Okay. Sean Black, your 3-minute speech. Go right ahead.
I've been getting better with these.
Yes.
My final thought for this week is that if you're of the mindset that authority has to have authority on themselves, you have to make sure that there are systems in place to ensure that a cultural difference isn't misconstrued as a racial difference and that doesn't impede a way a particular authority figure does their job. If you've got a cop, if you've got a security guard, a teacher, somewhere along those lines, is doing their job for the good of the people that they're supposed to be protecting, and it has nothing to do with race or creed or religion, that should be tantamount amongst anything else. That has to be on top of what anything that's there. and make sure that it's taken care of. And that's the only thing that can really come out of this whole situation. It's a learning, it's a teachable argument, especially in the day and age of social media.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, I have one more question for Sean Black before we go to my final thought. Do you think last night's New York Giants versus New Orleans Saints game was the NFL game of the year so far?
That was one of the, if you're into offense big time, that was one of the most disgusting games I've seen. I'm going back some ways, but it reminded me a lot of a Jets game that happened back in 86 between the Dolphins and the Jets, and that game was like 51-45. It was a straight shootout. But at least in that game, there was some semblance of defense from the Dolphins and the Jets. This game had absolutely, positively no defense at all. And when I say it is Eli Manning threw 6 touchdowns, Drew Brees threw 7, there was not even a contested play. All of the touchdowns were like, you know, it was like playing in the backyard or playing out in the street. These were easy gimme touchdowns. And it was horrible. But it is what it is. When you look at the way that the NFL has gone, that was not an offensive output as much as it was a lack of defense on both teams.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, next week, like I said, we will do the show next Monday night. And hopefully one of the topics that we will talk about, again, I'm trying to talk about mental illness for a while, but like I tell Sean every week, something keep happening.
Yeah.
But one topic for sure we will touch base on is the names that went out about the KKK got hacked via Twitter. Yeah, there's some names on the panel of the KKK. And I will say right now that Sean Black and the Hot Rod are not part of the KKK. As for the third member of the group, I cannot speak for that person right now. But
really?
Other than that,
Oh boy.
And plus, I have one more question to ask. Which one choked more, the New York Mets in the World Series or Anitra's throat? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in.
I'm going to choke him one day. It's going to happen. And nobody will be surprised. Everybody will know that he deserved it.
Oh, boy. You know the sad part is, he just asked about choking, and then you just said you're going to choke him.
In what way is she going to choke me? Only God knows. Because remember, I have a girlfriend and I have 3 other side chicks. But besides that, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of Kings himself. I am the High Rod with
Sean Black leaving the building. And
the need for B. Good night, guys.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
And yes, Anitra do choke a lot. Oh, gotta go bye.
You have problems. Like, you are broken.
Oh, wow. She called you
bye,
broken.
Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye.